What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Having a weird debate in the group text. Maybe, Bob, I know you're going to be useless on this, and it's not a bad thing. Does McDonald's stop serving breakfast at 10:30
yes.
or 11?
10:30.
100%?
10:30. Yeah. 10:30.
Google it, because it says some stores are different. And I don't know how you're supposed to figure that out.
Is it like the ice cream machine? Like some stores are different, but they all just pick when it closes.
I guess a website, you could say, that tells you if your local McDonald's ice cream machine is working or not.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because they're always busted. But no, 10:30 is because
I've
been to these places at 10:30 too, and they don't want to serve you an egg. It's like, well, we already put that away. I'm like, okay, fine.
You can't make a egg white. You can't make a large salad.
Apparently they can't.
Yeah,
I need the key. Where's the manager?
Yeah, so it's 10:30.
Yep.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
But I mean, like that. I understand you need to make the flip over to lunch. I get all that. But if somebody rolls in at 10:30, they don't want a Big Mac.
I knew this was going to happen. 10:30 during the week, 11 on Sundays. It's 11.
Is it really?
It's 11 at the Broadway location in Missouri. I'm telling you, man. I've never been more. Like, unsure of something than McDonald's breakfast.
I've never been more sure of something than the 10:30 end time. Like, because I've seen it for years, it's been 10:30.
Okay.
Now if you got a rogue McDonald's owner that wants to stay open to 11 serving breakfast, more
power
to you.
Tell me where they are.
And let us know where you are. Yeah, exactly.
10:30 on DoorDash. Okay.
Because, I don't need a quarter pounder at 10:30. If I'm going to McDonald's at 10:30, I'm kind of wanting a breakfast burrito or an Egg McMuffin or a hash brown, right?
I'd just take all three. Back in the day, that was like $3.50.
And now it's that. Now it's like 350.
But calories.
Yes,
per one. Yeah.
Now it's 10:30.
Honest to God, and you better not lie to the man above. How many McDonald's hash browns could you honestly think you could put down in one setting?
What do you mean by comfortably?
Like comfortably in your mind, you think like obviously you'd be disgusted.
Yeah.
But like straight up honest, like somebody's like, gun to your head, how many hash browns could you eat from McDonald's in one setting?
I'm gonna say about 10, probably.
I'd say almost double that.
Really? Dude, I'm with Nathan, man.
Yeah.
Those things are so good.
They are. I mean, I'm just thinking about the salt, pepper, ketchup on there, the SPK you put on top, and the fancy McDonald's ketchup on that hash brown. Like,
I like when the paper sticks to it, because I know I've got a good one.
You got a good one. Yeah, it's hot and greasy.
after about two of those, you're going to feel gross. The day's over. You need a nap. But yeah. I could put down
you think
a
you
good
can
number 20
of them. I think 10 may be a stretch, but I mean, I don't want to try.
The first five are just without a blink of an eye.
Like, you can comfortably eat 2 to 3 and feel fine, and then you start eating more probably. I'm like, all right, got to give this a pass.
Somebody says, you eat more than 3, you're having the Hershey squirts. We know what's happening. We're doing this to ourselves.
We know.
It's like when you play Andy Reid, you know you're about to lose.
Right.
By the way, 12 straight playoff wins for the Kansas City Chiefs. Or wait, yeah, I believe so.
Well, you got, what did you have, 3-4-2 so far?
So it's been 9. I know it's 9. At least 9. And if you go back, I'm trying to think.
Well, you got to go back to because
they lost to Tampa,
right?
In the Super Bowl, and they haven't lost since
in the playoffs. Yeah,
they had the Bengals AFC championship.
Yeah, Bengals AFC championship game was the last loss.
They played 3-4. Yeah, it'd be a 9-game win.
9-game win. 3-4-2. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. So you win this one, it's 10 in a row.
Right.
You win this one, it's also 3 championships in a row.
That's right.
Andy Reid, we all know, was released by Philadelphia. Never in my life have I ever been more in love with the quote of one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Right.
Right. So I understand that, like, if you want to take it from, like, you know, our point of view where it's like, well, Philadelphia just let him go. They divorced. It was ugly. There were also mistakes on Andy Reid's side in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. He tried to put too much on his plate and take care of too much going on and realized it wasn't working out, and he had, you know, he was over here, he was over there, he was impatient, he wasn't patient, he didn't have clock management, but he needed to find a roster spot, needed to draft these guys, needed to, you know, look into the development of the players in college and who he's going to put on his team next year. Way too much.
Caused 14 years did all that. And that's why I say for these new head coaches, like, you got to delegate. Like, you were just a head coach. You were a figurehead of an organization. There's too much going on in the life of a head coach. And after 14 years, Andy Reid realized it. Like, he's a great case study for, you know, you can teach an old dog new tricks, as they like to say. Andy Reid is constantly reinventing himself. It would have been very easy for him to come here and say, I'm doing it all again. But he realized, I didn't have success when I was doing it all. How are we going to have success? Hire the right people. Let them do their jobs.
And I kind of have a minor Ned Yost, Andy Reid comparison. Because when Ned Yost was in Milwaukee, it ended bad. Mm-hmm. Like, he got him to the playoffs. He was in control. He was like, I'm doing this. And we all know Ned. He's a red ass.
Right.
Okay? There's no sugarcoating it. I know you guys are close, but he's a red ass.
No, I would say that too. And he would know that as well. Yeah. He's a lovable red ass, you know? You know, he's gotten less red over the years. But yeah, no, he was a hard ass. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, in Milwaukee, it just kind of started to slip away. And they got to the playoffs, but he couldn't stop. You know, he couldn't stop falling in love with J.J. Hardy. Like, that was his guy. He was like, this is going to be my guy. I don't care. He's in a leadoff. Kind of similar to Alcides Escobar.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he had other issues as well. Like, it started to have a riff in the clubhouse. Comes to Kansas City. And for quite a little bit, he wasn't changing.
No.
And if you ask Ned what changed between 13 and 15, he would tell you that he started to lean into his bullpen coaches.
Yeah,
or his bench coaches.
Yep.
And let them kind of have their control. And he's like, you know what? I'll handle the bullpen. You guys handle the game and situational. And Rusty, you do your weird thing with the fungo bat and the bicycle. Dale, you do this over here. You know, Pedro, you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And a championship happened.
He leaned on his coaches. I mean, he will flat out. That will probably be the first thing that he says is that, you know, what changed? I leaned into my coaches and that's what you have to do. You have to trust the people around you. And he wasn't doing that in Milwaukee. Maybe Andy wasn't doing that for some time in Philly. Ned also will say that he, and this is important because I think Andy's done this as well. He adjusted to the player of today instead of making the player of today adjust to him. Because Ned had told me one time, he goes, I'm one guy, they're 25. Why am I going to make 25 guys try to do what I want? You know what? These are the players today. I'm going to do what they want. So they got to wear jeans and stuff like that, like not being in full suits. But he allowed the players to have more of an impact as well. That's evolving, man.
Yeah, that's what makes the team better. It makes people more, because you know you don't have to just report to one guy. Like, these guys might have their coach. These guys might have their coach. But when it's all said and done, you know who the dude is. And that's what Andy Reid is. And Andy Reid did that with Brett Veach. He did that with Clark Hunt. He did that with Mark Donovan. He's done that with every offensive coordinator that he's had. He lets Spags control what he controls. And then when it's, you know, time to everybody shut up and listen, then Andy Reid is the guy.
Right.
Then the red ass begins. And that's fine. It works. And it took the hiccups and the department of him in Philly to make it work. And I've said this 1,000 times, I've been on the show, and I did a lot in After Hours. Sometimes in life, you have to get broken into 1,000,000 pieces to build yourself back even stronger.
Yeah.
Andy Reid did that, came to Kansas City, learned quickly that he was still having a little bit of issues in the, of the past, got that resolved, and since he's had this sort of organization of 7 to 8 years with Mahomes and Veach and all these guys, it's been, you know, the good life. It's been, everything's been nice.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing Philly, you know, lose him is kind of one of those things in sports where you're like, damn, they had him and now this team has this.
Right.
And it's interesting because, you know, you bring up the question that, you know, is Philadelphia giving up on Andy the worst decision in sports history?
Do you think it is? I mean, the more that I look at it, and I know we're recency and locally biased, like the Babe Ruth trade paralyzed the Red Sox for 88 years or whatever the hell it was, right?
I think giving up is tough because I think, like we just explained, it was a mutual split. But also you could have like maybe tried to resolve it and you didn't. And you got to think like you might have a generational type of coach.
Yeah. The mutual split is always funny because it's always like, we think you should go. Yeah. I think I should go too. Right. Yeah.
You're fired. Well, I quit.
Yeah.
Well, we fired you first. No, you didn't.
Well, I'm going to go save face and I'm going to resign and I'm going to move on. However it went down. Right?
I also kind of put that up there with, you know, you have the Herschel Walker trade that you bring up, right? The 3-for-1. Is the Herschel Walker trade the same as the modern day Tyreek Hill trade?
No, there was much more for Herschel Walker. You got
Karlaftis McDuffie.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to win a third title.
Yeah.
They got Irvin Smith and Aikman and they won three titles.
Yeah, and they won three titles. I mean, there were more players involved, you know? I mean, there were so many players involved in that Herschel Walker trade. Like, honest to God, as we sit here today, that's probably the last thing Jerry Jones has done right. And everybody criticized him for it when they traded Herschel Walker to the Minnesota Vikings. And he got all those draft picks back in return. They turned into those players that you just mentioned. And that was like in the early 90s. That probably is the last thing that Jerry Jones has done right as the owner, general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. I can't think of anything else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's done a lot of good things lately. I mean, he's been honest.
Yeah.
He's been truthful.
Mm-hmm.
He's let people know about his past and, you know, where he's at now. And I'm sure that if I could find it, we could give you exactly what we mean by that. But that's right.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
It's all about the white jersey. 17-3 in the last 20 Super Bowls. Record of teams that wear white jerseys.
Two of those losses were to the Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken, Philly and San Francisco. So, like,
did the Bucks wear white when they played the Chiefs? Did we wear red in that Super Bowl?
I think we had red on it
because they were technically the away team, but they played at home. Is that how that worked? I don't remember.
I don't recall that Super Bowl.
There's a lot of bourbon getting drank in that second half.
I'm just trying to think of that picture of Mahomes that's gone viral since then.
It is red. Yeah. It is red. Yeah.
Damn it. Some of the texts are like, Dusty, they got 11 picks for Herschel Walker. But my argument was both teams got significant, like, big guys like Karlaftis and McDuffie who
get
to lose in the playoffs. And both teams are going to win 3 Super Bowls.
I mean, think about trades like that, you know, over the years that teams trade these draft picks, right, or players for draft picks. How many of the draft picks pan out to be serviceable players? A lot of times it doesn't work. Obviously, the Herschel Walker trade did with 4 guys and potentially all 4 Hall of Famers. Russell Merrill, probably not. And then you look at the Chiefs and what they were able to do and get George Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie. What are you laughing at?
How crazy AI is, because like somebody on the Texans is like, please tell me that was AI from Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then somebody from the 816 goes, is that Jerry Jones clip real about the last time he went to the Super Bowl?
I had somebody ask me that yesterday. Did he really say, like, no, it's AI? Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it sounds so real, right? I mean, it sounds, it's awesome.
What's weird, though, is this, promise you, this isn't AI.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes.
That's real.
No, that is real. I don't think he knows. I guess he's an oil guy, so that was a glory hole back in the day. I don't know.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
I've just never heard it described as a dinger, so that's why I loved it.
One of the dads came up to me yesterday and goes, that wet biscuit thing, is that?
You're like, that's what happens when we hired this guy.
Yeah, I'm walking out of the gym yesterday over at California Trail, yeah, watching a game, and one of the dads, Mitchell's dad, stops me, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I got a couple of questions. Like, I got to run real fast. I got to get somewhere. And he goes, the wet biscuit. I go, that is an AI.
Yeah. I just wish, I don't know if this would ever happen, but I just wish there was like dash cams of everyone. Like once you tapped in, we could see like
your reaction,
to see what somebody's reaction is to hearing that.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I'll take a double frate, a dinger as a wet biscuit.
What? Sean Smith just tweeted at me too, from down in Dallas, yeah, former chief, friend of the show. And he's at Bob Fesco, wet biscuit, and two laughing emojis. So
yeah. That's what it is. Big game coverage on 96.5. The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. This is the toughest time to stay focused, as we'll have our guy Mitch Holtis join us here in just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. As he's always saying to me, Dusty, stay focused. It's tough, man, when you got this much on the line. Three-peat, 10 straight playoff wins, Patrick Mahomes going for his fourth title, Travis Kelce, potential last season, Andy Reid could become the greatest coach ever with this win, even though he doesn't have as many as Bill, but it'd be a three-peat, mm-hmm, and he'd be the winningest coach in two franchises. There is so much going on in this week before we've even gotten to the game. It's hard to stay focused with this week. I mean, I know we have more going on than maybe some most do, but again, this is just one of those things where when you look at this game coming up, this week is hard for me to stay focused because I start reaching out in my mind going, okay, wait a second. If they win this, that would make teams 5-0 who face a rematch. The last time a team did that, oh, wait, that was last year, Shanahan and Reed. Reed beat Shanahan again. Now he's playing Sirianni again. Everybody's talking about Saquon Barkley and his birthday and that he's such a great player, but forgetting that the Chiefs have O'Minihue and Felix Ndiki-Uzama, who's been better, Carl Loftus, and Chris Jones. Nick Bolton last time in the Super Bowl was really, really good. He could be playing for a contract. Justin Reed's out there also could be playing for a contract. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, there's this McDuffie guy who's going to play against A.J. Brown, who has an attitude problem, who can get inside his own head. There's Devonta Smith. He's 2 years older than the last time they played. I'll settle down.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're way into it. I have hardly thought about the game this week.
Oh, man,
right?
I'm like, everywhere. I'm like Russell Crowe in that Beautiful Mind movie.
Yeah, you know? Right. But, I mean, like, I just look at it, like, I found other things to do this week. Like, right. I'm not going to focus on it because we're going to be knee-deep in this thing, shoulder-deep in this thing come Sunday afternoon, right? And it's going to be all about football. And so you do have to pace yourself. You do have to kind of take a step back. It was great this week not really having sports on television. It was kind of nice to decompose a little bit and watch the OJ thing on Netflix, which 3 of the 4 episodes have been complete. But like the game plan and all that kind of stuff, like I just look at it and go, Andy Reid's got this. We're good to go. And I'm not going to sit here and think about, you know, what they're going to do wrong or what they're going to do right, because I mean, I trust Andy Reid. Like that's the level that I think everybody in Kansas City should be at right now. Is like, mm-hmm, we're going into the biggest game our franchise has ever played, and we got arguably the greatest coach of all time and the greatest quarterback of all time. I like our chances in this one. And I think we're going to see a lot of Saquon Barkley talk next week and how it's going to be very difficult for the Chiefs to stop Saquon Barkley, right? Like, that's going to be the narrative, I believe, when we get down to New Orleans. I don't know if the Chiefs can stop this guy. I don't know if the Chiefs can stop Saquon Barkley. And then the Chiefs will go out there and hold Saquon Barkley like 35 yards in the Super Bowl, and everybody like, wow, they stopped Saquon Barkley. We'll spend a whole week talking about how they can't stop Saquon Barkley, and they will stop Saquon Barkley.
Leonard Fournette, I believe, the last running back to have over 100 yards against the Chiefs in the
Super
Bowl.
What year was that?
2020.
That's the last playoff 100-yard rusher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe, and only.
Yeah, against Spags. Yeah. Yeah.
Against Spags.
Yep.
Stay focused, Dusty.
That's right. It's the voice of the Chiefs. Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience. Outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Brought to you also by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. It's on their stadium where they didn't lose all year. Now they go to another stadium and a dome. The guy that gets me to be a, you know, not wet biscuit, Mr. Mitch Holtis on a Friday, before the big game, the second to last Red Friday of the year. Mr. Holtis, how are you today, sir?
Awesome, man. But it's an asteroid shower. But what a moment! And to get this team has been remarkable in so many ways, and now here we are. And Dusty, I know I've told you to stay focused throughout the whole year. Now I'm going to tell you what Coach Reed would say, and that's don't peak too soon, Dusty.
That's right. That's exactly right, Mitch. He's trying to peak on a Friday before we even leave for the Super Bowl, right?
Take a breath. Breathe into a paper bag.
Yeah.
That's it, bud. That's it. Don't peak too soon.
Now, you don't want to peak too soon. Speaking of peaking, obviously we're peaking here in Kansas City. Everybody's having a great time. The Nationals media is peaking with nonsensical stuff, and then you're out there just destroying people on Twitter. Do you have yourself a good week, you know, taking the truth to Twitter?
Stay focused, Mitch.
Hey, talk to yourself. I was working. You know, I work late, and that's when I do my research is in the evenings. And I started to look at all of this, and I'm just sick of the false narrative of the refs help the Chiefs all the time.
Yep.
And because it takes away from this team. It takes away from the greatness of Andy Reid, the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, and what this particular 2024 Chiefs have done. They played every day of the week but Tuesday, only because they weren't asked to play on Tuesday. They played three games in 11 days. They have from 10 minutes off walking off the podium in Las Vegas, the pressure, or even internally, they're going, hey, we're going to go for the three-peat. And to do that, they've had to walk through every week since March, and they've done it. And then they get 15 regular season wins, and then here they are. But to have that be somehow tempered down or neutralized from some false narrative just got me angry. And I looked and I thought, well, how many times, and this is the empirical data during the regular season, the Chiefs are 17th in the league. 23% of their scoring drives were aided by a first down on the defense that gave an automatic first down. Well, guess who was first in the league? Buffalo. Buffalo. One-third of their drives were aided with a defensive penalty that allowed the Bills to have a first down on that drive. And, 29 of their drives started in the plus half of the 50. So if we take how many plus half 50 drives were aided, I don't have that number, then you start to get things into perspective. By the way, Philadelphia was 12th in being aided by a penalty. And that started a firestorm. I put it on X/Twitter, and this starts a firestorm both ways. But it's data. It's not some weird theory or some clickbait piece. And people that I respect in this league are falling for it.
Yep.
And it's just disrespectful. It's disrespectful to Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, and that,
plain and simple, that's it.
That's been my take all along, Mitch. I've been saying it probably for the better part of a year now. Every time you talk about the refs or something else, you're degrading what Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, Matt Nagy, Brett Veach, Clark Hunt, like all the hard work that gets put in by these guys, you're not counting that. You're making them feel like they're secondary because you're blaming the referees. You're not giving them that credit. And it happened again yesterday. I don't know if you heard Nazi Johnson on Sirius XM yesterday. He goes, we knew exactly what they were going to do on that fourth down play. We knew their tendency. And then you go back to the blocked field goal against Denver. Like, when you talk about the referees and say all that stuff, and you're not giving this team credit, you're not giving the coaches credit for the hard work that they put in to understand the tendencies of the other team, to prepare their players to know those tendencies, to go out there and win a football game. And every time they mention the referees, I'm like, man, you're just kicking this coaching staff right in the nuts.
Well, I'm going down there, boys. I'm going down with the team on Sunday, and I'm going with guns loaded because I'm going to see some of these guys in the media area, in the media center, Radio Row, and I'm just going to have either private or public discussion about it because it's stupid. The fact that – and then the narrative that they win so many close games. And I'm going to tell them that's a strength. That goes back to the preparation of blocked field goals or having replacement kickers for replacement kickers doing field goals. I mean – this all adds together defensively how this team is prepared. The other thing I would tell you, and you know the great prophet of our time, the great sage Sean Barber, who sits on top of mountains and thinks of stuff.
This is his Super Bowl, by the way, because it's 59.
It's 59, that's right. And the 03 Chiefs came up last week because defensively we think those guys were trash. Well, The Buffalo Bills of 24 were kind of the Chiefs of 03. And the fact that those Barber and those guys had 37 takeaways. All right, He sent me a Nick Saban quote. But this, to me, is one of the biggest attributes of the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs. And it deals with mental toughness. I've talked about mental and emotional toughness. And this team has it with an A-plus grade. But I think this is Nick Saban's quote. But he describes mental toughness as the ability to endure discomfort, pain, and adversity without breaking. It's about showing up consistently at your best, even when circumstances are at their worst. Science calls this stress tolerance.
Hello?
Without losing focus or control. Studies in performance psychology reveal that those who develop mental toughness can maintain, get this boys, composure, adapt quickly to challenges, sustain high levels of performance over time. But mental toughness isn't just a trait you're born with. It's a skill you can build with. And that's my point. Mm-hmm. And if you put out these garbage narratives, it takes away from that piece, which sets this Kansas City Chiefs team apart,
yep.
Especially the 24 version.
Hey, sorry. When you go after Adam Schefter, would you just let us know so we can bring the camera over and get that up on the Insta? Because we'll get a lot of followers if you and Schefter have a nice little, you know, brouhaha in media row. Because he's the one, I think, that everybody finally went, all right, you're supposed to be a respected voice in the NFL, and now you're wading into the shallow end here.
Well, Florio may be first on the list.
Well, he's always up there. Yeah.
Yeah, but what he said about Pat in 2019.
Yep, I know. Going out and injuring him, right?
Yeah, injure Pat Mahomes. Do it when it's goal to go because it's only a half the distance penalty. And I saw him, and I was like 10 minutes over. I was like, I'm going to go see the cat. And then, I don't know, I got diverted or somebody pulled me away. So this, yeah, Schefter would be next on the list, but if I'm handcuffed and carried out of there, it might create a problem. I'm just upset by it.
Yeah.
And it's stupid.
It really is because it's a bad narrative.
It's a bad narrative because it takes away from greatness. Nate Burleson had the best response. He goes, you can hate him, right? That's what I said at the end of the game again. You can hate him, but you're experiencing greatness. And did they hate the Bulls like this in the 90s? Or the Lakers of the 2000s, the Shaq, Kobe Lakers? I don't remember that. Hatred, I remember the hatred of the Patriots maybe, but not like this. This is too weird. And I don't know why. Is it social media?
Mm-hmm.
Is it clickbait? But still, it's a phenomenon that, again, detracts from the Chiefs.
Well, this is also, too, the first real dynasty in sports that we've had in the social media era. So everybody has an opinion now, too.
Yeah, but to come up with false ones, well, you can't really. And I can pick out a play or hear. The stat that I gave you that caused the discussion both ways was the fact that that's over a year. That's a year's worth of data, 17 games. This isn't me looking through video of Philadelphia and finding three plays and go, see, there's a great example of how Philadelphia gets helped all the time by the officials.
All right, if you have a brown paper sack in your car, Mitch, why don't you go ahead and breathe into that? We can kind of calm down a little bit here. Let's talk about this game because there's a couple guys on that offensive line that could be in some danger of missing the game or at least not being close to either way, 75%. And those two guys have to stare across the line to Charles Omenihue and Chris Jones. That could really disrupt that man who wears 26 and Saquon Barkley.
Well, and that... I said this before, but Dusty, it bears repeating. I don't think there's a team in the league that has an 8-man rotation on the defensive front that the Chiefs have. And yes, Omenihue at the top, or Chris at the top of the list. Omenihue's such a weapon in the playoffs that Pinnell was awesome against Buffalo. He was awesome. You go back and watch the video, he was terrific. We know what Turk Wharton can do. Felix Anjudike-Uzama is improving by the week. Karlaftis in playoff George, like, beats everybody up. So you've got, again, and don't leave Derek Nnadi out of this equation, but to have eight guys of that talent and that quality rotating helps you against a running team. I'll tell you the other thing that helps the Chiefs in this game specifically is they just played, in my opinion, the Buffalo Eagles. And this week they're playing the Philadelphia Bills. There are so many similarities. The three teams, to me, that play alike – with the level of quarterback that they have, Baltimore, and now Buffalo. Buffalo changed even more back to what they were, or more towards Baltimore, and Philadelphia is the Buffalo of the NFC. And that helps your team because it's basically you're looking schematically at something very similar. You're not playing a four out. If you're playing Washington in this game, you got to redo a lot of stuff in the way you go into your game plan. For Spags, there's a lot of stuff he can use that he used against Buffalo, at least in structure, that he can use this week against Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And to me, that helps.
When you look at this game, Mitch, obviously you're not winning it this week, but the preparation, getting ready, all of that kind of stuff, you could lose it if you're not preparing this week the right way, right?
You know, I've learned this, to go to five of these games, and the COVID year doesn't count. We didn't go down until like the weekend, and that was just weird.
Yeah.
And we're playing at Tampa, and it just felt like a regular season game. So let's take the other four. And this is where Big Red's experience, and you guys were alluding to it before I got on the air with you, where Big Red's experience comes into play. Yeah, Philly has just been here. They were just here 2 years ago. But Andy, even in Super Bowl 54, where none of us had gone, Andy had gone before. He knew what the week before should look like and be like and why. Just like we treat OTAs with a sense of urgency, those April practices are Andy as a Wednesday game week practice. It's the same thing with a Super Bowl bye week. You have got to attack the week. The infrastructure that has to be in place. Think about this. You guys, who's going to the game? You're an employee of the Chiefs. Who's going to the game? Who doesn't get to go to the game? And you've got to take care of all this stuff. Plus, it's basically moving your operation down there like training camp. And then you put your game plan in. So Tuesday of bye week is vitally important because it leads to Wednesday of bye week, which leads to Thursday, and now we're here on Friday. There's so much that has to be done today. If you wait until you get down to that circus that's going to hit you as soon as you walk off the plane, it's too late. And we have seen individual players in this game get swept away down the river. We've seen teams get blown away or coaches that go nuts in this game. Not Andy and this staff. They prepare this week. So you can't win the game this week, but you can definitely lose the game this week. And there's all kinds of instances in Super Bowl history of that very fact.
Mitch, I know you don't really like to do player comps every once in a while, but, you know, there's a lot of talk about 15 and, you know, what's the best, you know, version of him that's already happened? Is it Michael Jordan? Is it Tiger Woods? Is it Derek Jeter? Like, what, when you see 15 play in these playoff games and everything slows down and he just kind of takes over, what's the comparison you have for that?
You know, I gave this comparison a long time ago, and then I heard Damian Woody use it on a reel, but I was using it a long time ago. But it's the fact that this Tiger Woods is in his prime before Denny's waitresses, going down the 18th fairway wearing the red shirt,
mm-hmm.
the Nike shirt on Sunday. That's Pat. Because Pat will birdie 17 and 18, and Josh Allen's Phil Mickelson. That's just what it feels like to
yeah.
me. Because you have an individual player. Now, yeah, I mean, there's Michael, but the fact that Patrick, his playoff numbers are so astounding compared to everyone, including Brady's, that he's by himself. And he's Tiger walking down on the 18th fairway getting ready to win the Masters for a third year in a row. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this one before we get ready to get out of here. Andy Reid leaving Philadelphia. We kind of talked about it in our last segment, and I was listening to some Philadelphia stations, and they have some 20-year-olds on the station. They're like, I barely remember Andy Reid being here and all that kind of stuff. We're getting to that point, Mitch, which I think I told you about probably 2 years ago. We're getting to that point now where there's going to be rookies in the NFL who have no idea that Andy Reid was ever a coach of a Philadelphia Eagle team because, you know, if guys are coming into the league at 20, 21 years old, they were, what, 7, 8, 9 when Andy was in Philadelphia? You don't have much memory from them. And I thought to myself, and maybe you guys are different, we kind of discussed it, is Philly parting with Andy Reid like the worst decision in sports history?
Man, it's up there. You know what's cool is he won 130 games in 14 years with Philadelphia and 10 playoff wins.
Right.
And think of all the crap he took. Couldn't win the big one, time management, blah, blah, blah. Good regular season coach, can't win in the postseason. And with the Kansas City Chiefs, he's won 143 games in 12 years, and he's won, what, 18 playoff games, 19. Pat's won 15, 16. He's won 18 playoff games, 19. Anyway, the point is, he has done more here in 12 years than he did in 14 in Philadelphia. Let me tell you who respects him more than anybody in the realm of the Philadelphia Eagle family, former players. They know.
Yep.
Those Eagles former players will show up even around our stuff because they love the dude. And they know what he did for them. And Philadelphia ought to put him by the Rocky statue because for 14 years, he won that division 8 times. He turned Philadelphia into a consistent winner, mm-hmm. not a blip on the screen. He changed the Eagles franchise, and they don't give him enough credit for that. But thank you, Philadelphia. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because we all know what Andy did here because he has absolutely changed not only our franchise, he's changed the region and the city. People think differently now about the Chiefs Kingdom in Kansas City than they did before Andy got here. He's turned them into a historic winner, us into a historic winner. So, and you know what? What's interesting, and this will come out, I think, and that Andy needed us as much as we needed Andy. That had reached its end in Philadelphia. And when they lost Garrett during the – when Andy and Tammy and the family lost Garrett during the training camp, that was our rock bottom. Belcher murder suicide. It was just so brutal and on terrible that you've got to move on and maybe look at something else. And I just love it that Andy and Tammy came here. They made a decision over 6 other franchises to come here and say, this is where we'll plant the next turn of our life. And it's turned out not only great for us, it's turned out great for them. Because now the perception of Andy Reid isn't, oh, he can't win the big game. Good regular season coach. The perception of Andy Reid is we need to probably put him on Mount Rushmore of NFL coaches. And that happened in Kansas City. And that's just awesome, in my opinion.
No doubt about it, Mitch. We appreciate the time, and I'm going to do my best to
stay focused, Dusty.
I promise I will, and not to peak too early. So, Mitch, have a great call at Super Bowl 59, and hopefully we can talk to you live next week in New Orleans.
That's it, Dusty. Think cold thoughts.
That's right. Thanks, Mitch. Mitch Holtz is brought to you by Silver Sun Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silver Sun Eye Center. Brought to you also by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. On the other side, we'll get into the brothers of the NFL and who ranks the best of all time. And I'll go get some cold ice water for my lap. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Sex, love, and rock and roll. Is that Mitch Holtz's interview? Someone says on the text line, just go get an ice pack instead. I don't know, man. I was just sitting in my room last night.
We don't need to know this.
Oh, not that.
Come on now.
Come on.
It's a family show here.
Getting ready to go on the air on a Boston radio station. And I was like, okay, what can I give them to talk about when it comes to this game? Because I'm like you, Bob. Like Monday through Thursday, I was like, just have fun. Enjoy this kind of down week, a.k.a. a minor bye week. And then we'll get going.
Were they about the dynasty? And
no,
like,
no, okay. No. They were really they're awesome guys. I did it last week, and then they reached out and said, "Can I do it this week?" And probably talk to them again next week as well. But they were, you know, and I kind of leaned in a little bit because I was like, "Man, Julian Edelman's a guy, man. That guy's awesome because of what he said about, you know, if you want it, because like my buddy called me too. Yeah. He goes, listen to the show today. Couldn't agree more with Julian Edelman. Love that attitude. My dad used to say it to us when we were playing sports. My coaches used to tell me that. Hey, that team's really good. You don't like them.
Beat them.
Do something about it. You know, like you
that's
know,
the way it used to be, Dusty. But that's not the MO anymore. In the last 15 years, it's all about blame everybody else instead of looking inside of you and saying, "Go beat them."
It's like, you know, I can respect other, you know, people that do radio in this city, but if you want to be number one, go beat them.
Go
have better content.
Yeah.
Don't bitch and moan about, well, they play music. Well, you play the hits too, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I talked about that, and I was like, I gave him the take I gave you yesterday about the Tom Brady thing. I was like, I know a three-peat is great, and it's historic, and it's everything. I was like, but you got time against you to where you can pass Tom Brady, which is not a good thing nor a bad thing, but, I mean, it's definitely not a bad thing, but it's more good than bad because it's like, yeah, Tom Brady's great. Tom Brady never won 3 in a row, but Tom did win 7. And Tom did have three different decades of Hall of Fame
careers. Do they recognize seven in New England, or they only recognize six in New England?
They recognize Tom Brady in New England. But they, you know, at the very end, you know, there were some Taylor Swift drops as well. And the guy was like, you're a closet Taylor Swift fan. I was like, ain't no closet here, man.
No, not at all.
So it was fun.
Why do guys feel the need to say that? Because I've been on radio shows, too, and they're like, what about Taylor Swift? And I go, I love Taylor Swift. And then sometimes hosts will go, I do, too. I'm glad you said that.
I'm dropping, like, song lyrics.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, not every 37-year-old male is, you know, in depth to Taylor's music. I find it enjoyable. I have two sisters that love her. I've dated a girl that was like obsessed with her, so I had to learn all this stuff. And then, you know, the Chiefs, it happens, and you're like, oh God, okay, here we go.
Yeah. I wasn't really into Taylor Swift until she came here, and then obviously my kids were involved. It gave me that opportunity to
You see the enjoyment they have, and you're like, okay, so what's so crazy about her music? And you start listening, you're like, all right, this is a bop.
Yeah,
like,
okay. No, it's really, you know, good stuff. Like, some of the deep cuts are good as well, and whatnot.
I mean,
her
best song of all time is Ivy. If you ever want to look that up, it's a great song.
I think her best song of all, this is unbelievable conversation, Dusty. Yeah. I think it's Betty. That's my favorite Taylor Swift song of all time.
That song about two of her best friend's kids. Kid.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Betty was my grandma's name.
I believe it is about Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds' child.
Oh, all right.
Again, not a closet fan.
Yeah.
Very open and about it. But again, it'd be like the same thing if like a 37-year-old female was like, you know, meet me in the darkness on the edge of town. I'd be like, stop.
Yeah, right.
I mean, stop. What?
Yeah.
So, but no, we saw this on NFL Rumors on X. Who is the best NFL brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Good list.
It is.
Good list. I think there's one that reigns supreme, and I'm going to be bias on this.
Well, I mean,
it does. There's
one on the list for me that ranks supreme above a couple of these that isn't even on the list.
And that's fair. So we have Jason and Travis Kelce,
mm-hmm.
Peyton and Eli Manning,
right.
Shannon and Sterling Sharp, Stephon and Trayvon Diggs. Honorable mention.
Yeah.
They don't even belong on this list.
I was like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Good brother duo. Each have each other's back, especially on Twitter. Jason and Travis, four Super Bowls. Jason's got one, Travis has three, right?
You're talking wins.
Super Bowl wins.
Yeah.
So four Super Bowls between those two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Four Super Bowls between Peyton and Eli.
Right.
Close.
Very close.
Very close. I would probably take Peyton and Eli because they're already both Hall of Famers, but eventually Travis and Jason will surpass them this year when Travis wins another one.
And Travis wins this year. He's got five, and they're the quarterbacks, so that ranks high
as
well.
And to be fair, if you want to take Travis and Jason a step further, Jason might be the best center to ever play football, or at least he was at the time the best at his position in the league for several years.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce will go down as the greatest tight end of all time. Peyton's not going to go down as the greatest quarterback. Eli's not going to go down as the greatest quarterback.
No, not at all.
But four Super Bowls.
But four Super Bowls, and they were difference makers. The name and the brother duo that's off this list that clearly needs to be on this list, Tiki and Rondae Barber. Rondae Barber's already in the Hall of Fame, and I believe Tiki's a top 25 finalist this year for the Hall of Fame. I don't know if Tiki's going to get in this go-around, but there's a lot of people making really good cases for Tiki Barber to get into the Hall of Fame as well. People forget how great Rondae and Tiki Barber really were.
And that's one of the names that came up on the text line. The Barbers were pretty good.
They were outstanding. Tiki Barber's like this close to being a Hall of Famer. I do think he will get in eventually. But you're a top 25 finalist this year. I think he eventually gets in to the Hall of Fame. I don't know when, but that's a name that's on the list. And then also the McCourties you could put on that list as well for great brother duos. And then, of course, the Baldingers.
What about the Schwartz brothers?
Could do the Schwartz brothers. I didn't even think of Mitchell and Jeff Schwartz, right?
Pretty good at their positions.
Pretty good, yeah.
Be better than the Diggs brothers.
Yeah.
You were getting ready to say something.
And that's not a dig at the Diggs brothers.
No.
Oh, man, we have a... There we go.
That works.
The Watts.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are two Hall of Famers.
How the hell did I forget that? I guess because JJ
was complaining
about something. Yeah.
No, JJ just said, what did he say?
He said something stupid this week.
Didn't he in the pregame?
Oh, he said players should stop opting out of the Pro Bowl.
That's what it was.
JJ Watt, before the Bills game,
he said,
like, came out and was like, stop this narrative. Come in here and beat the Chiefs.
No, JJ's cool in my book. I thought the Pro Bowl thing was lame because he never played in a Super Bowl. But either way, I watched 2 minutes of the Super Bowl or the Pro Bowl game last night.
I didn't even.
And I immediately turned it to beat Bobby Flay. I did not. I was like, I saw Drew Nixon's tweet.
Oh, he was, you know, him and Mac were dialed into the Pro Bowl, like taking notes.
No, Mac's busy. Mac doesn't have any time to watch TV. Mac's loading up the U-Haul and bringing the lady to Kansas City.
Right.
That's why Mac's not here. That's why our brother, Nathan's here. But the Watt brother, that's a great pull. Yeah,
that is a good one.
That's fantastic. I don't know why we didn't have that on there. That should be on there over the Diggs brothers. Kidding me? The Watt
or
brothers?
Or the Barbers. I mean, either one of those. Right. The Diggs are...
Tiki won a Super Bowl, didn't he?
He went to the 2000 Super Bowl, so he never won. He retired the year before they won the Super Bowl. The Tiki never won a Super Bowl, no.
The Bosa brothers?
They're always hurt.
But they're good. They're good.
They play like 30% of the time. You know, like I have a hard time putting them on the list.
This is a really good text from the text line. When you base it off personalities, Manning's or Kelce's?
Ooh, that's good. That is really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
You think like the Kelce's are going to be on the Manning cast when it's also like the four of them will just be sitting around. The Mannings right now have it because they're out of the game, you know, and they get the ability to do it a little bit more than Travis does. But I think once it's all said and done, I think people will love Travis and Jason and doing their things. Or maybe people are people sick of the Mannings?
I don't think so.
Right? Okay, they're on TV more than the Kelce's are, yet people are sick of the Kelce's and the Chiefs. The Mannings are everywhere.
I think it depends on what side of the personality you like. Like, Eli and Peyton are, like, geeky funny, whereas, like, Travis and Jason are, like you... Maybe you would want to have beers with Eli and Peyton, but you would rather have beers with Jason and Travis.
The night would be different with Jason and Travis than Eli and...
I would lean my personality, at least. I think you would know this. I would go Kelce brothers.
Yeah, I would go Manning brothers. Yeah. I would. I would go and hang out with the Mannings because I feel like... I feel like there's like untold stories from the Mannings that we could get. Like, I'd like to talk to him about the whole deal with, you know, Tom Brady and that rivalry and that whole thing and some of the NFL secrets that are out there and how bad Tony Dungy really was as a head coach and held Peyton back from doing good things. And so there's some good conversations to have with the Mannings. Plus I love, like, I'm a business of sports guy, and not that the Kelce's haven't done great things in the business of sports, but that Omaha Productions, I want in. So I'd be looking for a job over there with Peyton going, hey, put me on your show. I can be really fun.
Another brother combination you could have over Stephon and Trayvon Diggs is the Harbaugh brothers. They're coaches in the NFL.
Yeah.
One's one of
John didn't play, though.
No, you know? But I mean, coach-wise.
I mean, what other brothers are coaches in the NFL? I've got to think now.
I don't know. Somebody says they're Grammatica brothers. I remember.
Oh, yeah. Martin breaking his leg celebrating.
Was it
good.
Martin that did it?
I think it was, yeah.
What was the other brother's name? Bill Grammatica? Because the one dude did it for the Arizona Cardinals. He celebrated.
Yeah, I think it was Martin. Hell, okay. It may have been Bill, but, you know. Oh, yeah, the Grammatica brothers. That's really good.
The Ryans were the other coaches.
But Rob was never a head coach. Yeah. And Rex was a very, very average head football coach.
But he beat those Patriots that were cocky one time.
One time. We got us once, Rex.
That's right.
Maybe the best comeback ever.
The gold standard of quarterbacks. You know who it is right now. Where does it go all time? Plus, there was a quote from a guy who speaks about himself, not a team. We'll get to that on the other side of 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Sink of Truth podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.